thank you so much. Make sure we don't get any feedback there. Yes, so I am originally from the United Kingdom, England. I think it's very funny that I got invited to speak here on 4th of July. But the Lord has a good sense of humor, obviously, and that's good. Mostly when people try to guess where I'm from, they give three different things. They say, are you from Scotland? And I'm like, no, definitely not from Scotland. They say, are you from Wales? And I'm definitely not from Wales. And then one person actually said, are you from West Virginia? I don't know where they get that from. I have absolutely no idea. But no, I am originally from the UK, England. I became an American citizen 2 years ago. So amen. That's a great thing. That was a good day. I almost failed the test because they asked for my wedding anniversary. And I was like, oh, that's it. I'm done. I couldn't remember the year. Luckily, they helped me out. And then they came to my wife's birthday, and that was it. I was really finished then because I couldn't remember that one either. But luckily, they let me stay in the country, and I'm here. And it's a blessing to be with you guys today. I am a student at DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary, my last year. There is light at the end of the tunnel, praise the Lord. Done all my language classes and Hebrew classes. I'm very, very excited that's all done. And currently, I'm a children's minister at Vienna Presbyterian Church, but I'll be moving to Burr Community Church at the end of this month to be trained as a family pastor. So I'm very, very excited. I've been in family ministry, children's student ministry for 20 years, and I still have all my hair, which is good, although it's going a little bit gray at the back. So obviously, those kids have worked me hard. But I'm very, very excited for what the Lord has for me, and I'm very excited to be with you today to preach God's word. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for bringing us all together today to just dive into your word. We're just so excited that your inspired word can tell us so much about who you are and that you love us so much. Father, we just love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen. So yes, so I am married, been married to my wife for 6 years. My family is from the Philippines, so Britain, Philippines, good mix there. And my son is 8 months old. But the story of how he came into this world is a very, very interesting story, one that I would love to share with you. And so he was due to be born December 31st. My wife and me, we've been trying for 5 years to have a baby. We thought that we weren't going to have a child. And then COVID hit, and all the stress went away, and we were at home. And the Lord blessed us with a baby, so we're just very, very excited. We prayed so much, and so many people prayed about that. And so he was due in December 31st. Yet, I was coming home from church one day on a Monday evening, and my wife gave me a call 10 weeks before he was due and said, I think I'm going into labor. And I was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. That's definitely not happening. We haven't got time for this because I haven't finished the semester at seminary. I've got to get through all that. And I got a big meeting tomorrow. That's not happening. So she said, no, I think you need to take me. So I was like, okay, we'll just go. We'll just check out. Everything will be fine. And so drove her to the hospital and came into the room. And the doctor's, oh, it's okay. It's Braxton Hicks. It's going to be fine. We'll send you home. And I was thinking, oh, that's good. I can go home tonight and sleep in my own bed. That's good. And then the doctor came in and examined her and said, you're 4 centimeters dilated. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is happening tonight. And the first thing that came to my head was, I have a Hebrew paper due tonight. What am I going to do? Is the professor going to give me an extension? I have no idea. So at that moment, this big giant storm cloud seemed to appear over my face. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I started panicking. I was like, he's going to be a preemie? Is he going to be okay? What's going to happen? I was just so afraid and I was so terrified. So I started texting everybody's, my family, saying, this is going to happen. He's probably coming tonight. I texted my team at church. And I was just so full of fear and so afraid, what's going to happen? And then my sister in the church, she texted me back and she said, do you not remember what you just taught to the kids this morning, that very morning? She said, you just taught an Exodus where the Lord says, do not fear, I am the Lord, I am with you, and I will deliver you from Egypt. And I was just like, amen, how true is that? Now, I didn't know deliver actually meant the baby was going to be delivered, and he was going to deliver that night. But that was such a great reminder for me to know that the Lord is sovereign and he is with us. And as soon as she reminded me about that text, all my fears went away. The storm clouds disappeared. And he was born at 2 o'clock that night, a very healthy baby boy. He had to stay in the NICU for 6 weeks because he was a preemie. But there were no complications. He stopped breathing twice that night. And after that, nothing happened because we had so many people praying for him. And the Lord had promised that he would take care of him and there was nothing to fear. Just such a wonderful story. He's 8 months. I'd hoped he would come today, but he's not having a good 2 days. He's teething, and we were like, I think it's best he stays at home and relaxes right there. But that story is just such a great reminder for me and for all of us, is that we are not to be fearful, but we are to trust in the Lord and to trust in his power. And so there are many times where I feel, and this was me at that time, when crisis hit, and we are so fearful and we're so afraid. Yet what we need to remember is that if we believe in Jesus and we trust in him, he will bring us through anything. He really, truly will. And so today I want us to look at a text in Mark. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Mark 4, 35 to 41. It's a short text, which is great because we can really go into detail of that. And so if you want to turn to Mark 4, 35, 41, we're going to go through this text right here and look at three different points about what happens when storms arise in our lives. So here we go. Mark 4, 35 to 41. So verse 35 says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.'" So first of all, we need to know where are we right now. And who's he talking to? Because he's talking to, he said to them. Who is them? If we look in verse 34 right before, it says that it's his disciples. So we've already painted this picture of it's Jesus and his disciples. And where are they? We know they're actually on the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. Has anyone here been to Israel before? Oh, a few people. Okay, great. Well, I was very fortunate enough to be able to study in Israel for a whole month with my seminary to study archaeology and the history, and it was just such an incredible time. We got to spend about 4 days in Galilee, so there's a lot going on in there. And so I want you to really picture the Sea of Galilee right now, because the Sea of Galilee, it's not a huge lake. They say a sea, it's not a sea, it's a lake, but it's a tradition, so we'll leave them with that. But it's a pretty large body of water. You could probably drive around it in 45 minutes, maybe, but it's 33 miles in complete if you drove around the whole thing. So it's a pretty large body of water. And so it's saying that let us go across to the other side. At this point, we don't know where they are, but most likely it could be they're going from the north to the east because there's a lot of settlements over there. In the north is where Peter and his mother live. There's a lot of history there with the archaeologists have found a lot of remains there. And on the east side, there's also some other villages over there as well where they actually believe where the woman touched the robe of Jesus was healed as well. So there's a lot of things going on there. There's not as much on the west and the south. So most likely they're going from the north to the east. We don't know. They could be going east to west. West to east, we have no idea. But just imagine that. It would probably take maybe 2 hours on a boat back then because they had the fishing boats. They're very, very small boats with the sail. When I went out into it, we were on a little motor boat, and it took us maybe about 15, 20 minutes to get to the middle with a motor. So if you try to think about that, equate it to how long it would have taken them to go from one side to the other, that might give you a little bit of a time frame. And verse 36, it says, "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him." So now we're really picturing the story is really coming alive here. So imagine they've gone into the boat and they're all heading off. And there's this line here, which I've glossed over this several times, and it says, "And other boats were with him." And I think right there, that's quite an important line. I think that's actually painting a picture. This is just another ordinary day, and the weather is good, and everything is fine, and nothing terrible is going to happen. So everyone is going about their normal business. Now, some people say it could be that people were following Jesus because they wanted to know more about him. But I really think we're just painting a picture of it's just another ordinary day and all is well and nothing is going to happen. But in verse 37, "A great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling." So this is dramatic. This has suddenly happened and come out of nowhere. And right here is where a lot of the naysayers who say the Bible's not true, they love this passage because they're like, this is impossible. That could never happen in Galilee. Well, I am a geography major, and so I've studied this, and also my professor told me about this, but the Sea of Galilee and Israel is a very unique location in the whole world. It's one of the lowest parts of the entire world you can get to. If you go a little bit further south, you've got the Dead Sea. We've all heard of the Dead Sea. That lake there is a salt lake. It is the lowest place on the entire earth. You cannot get any lower, which is why it's a salt lake, because the water can't get out. The Sea of Galilee is a little bit further up. It's the lowest lying freshwater lake, and it's a very, very unique place. It's not that deep. It's only maybe 200 meters deep. And so, for those of you who've been to Galilee, it's surrounded by cliffs. You don't see that often. You don't see like really high cliffs and then the slopes come down and there's kind of like a lake. It's very, very rare. So it's a very unique place. So at the top of the cliffs, the climate is actually very cool. Again, hot air rises. That's really odd. But down below on the lake, it's very tropical. I stayed on a beach and had a great time. It was awesome. I was even paddling in the sea and having a great time. I wanted to build a sandcastle, but there was no sand there. But it's a really, really interesting place. So storms in the Galilee area actually come in really fast. They can completely overwhelm fishermen and people on the sea because when the cold air, the storm will come in, it's sucked down, and it causes a really crazy amount of waves in the sea because it's just 200 feet. So we can tell that just by reading this, this is true. This happens. This actually does happen quite frequently. And how many other stories do we see where we hear about this happening? Of, you know, Jesus walking on the water. We have other stories where storms are coming in. It's a very common occurrence. So if you have friends who don't believe this, you just tell them that information. That should really help them. So we know this happened. We know this absolutely happened. And because the boats over there were very, very small, it's very, very easy to sink. They've actually dredged some up and found some down there. And they're not big boats. They're not like the fishing trawlers we see today. Very, very small boats. And so imagine the disciples are in the boat. The waves are crashing. It's a crazy scene. The water's coming in. It already says the boat is filling up. And so, in verse 38, it says, "But he was in the stern." Who is he? Jesus. "Asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Do you guys ever come across someone who can sleep through anything? Yeah. I am not one of those people, I'm afraid. But my cousin, oh my gosh, my cousin, there was a brass band marching outside once when he was asleep and it didn't wake him up. That band could have marched through his bedroom and he still wouldn't have woken up. This guy could sleep. And I would go in and I'd move his lips around his, you know, I'd do all sorts of funny things. This is when I was a kid, by the way. This wasn't last week. And I just was amazed how people can do that, how people can sleep through the night like that. And Jesus seems to be the same thing. It's just amazing. How can he do this? But I think there's something very, very interesting about the fact that Jesus is sleeping and just doesn't worry about what is happening at all around him. And so my first point I want to give you today, that was my introduction. My first point is that when storms arise in our lives, have faith in Jesus. And so we see right there, we see the storm is happening and the disciples are just coming around Jesus and they're trying to wake him up and shake him because they're worried, what's going to happen? This storm is coming in. We're going to perish. They use the word perish, which means to die. They are that scared that they're going to die in this crazy storm. But I think what we see here is that Jesus' sovereignty is that he is so in control of this situation that there is nothing to fear. That he knows that this storm is going to come in, and he is not afraid at all for his disciples. And the disciples, they're interpreting this very, very wrong. They're thinking he's asleep. He doesn't care for us. He doesn't care if we die in this storm. But they've interpreted it wrong, because actually him sleeping is showing how much he does care for them, because he knows they're going to be safe because he is the sovereign king and he is in control. And so when we do not fully have faith in God or Jesus, we question his love for us. And that's what the disciples are doing right here. They're like, do you not care? We're about to die. And how often do we sometimes do that? How often do we say, Jesus, do you not care for us in my situation? I've talked to a number of you already today, and it sounds like a lot of you have gone through a lot of personal and family storms where things have happened where I'm sure you are like, Jesus, do you not care for me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? But sometimes we do lack that faith. Sometimes we lack that faith. We're not sure, is Jesus really going to bring us through this storm? Does he really care about us? And so an application I want us to have just for this small part here, for this small point here, is that we are to always have faith in God. His love for us is infinite. It will never end. Jesus loves us so much that he died for us. God sent his son to die for us so we could be with him if we believe and trust in him, and that he rose from the dead. It's just that the gospel's just right there in that one line there. He always loves us, and he's showing it to his disciples. I love you so much that I'm going to sleep through this storm because I know the outcome and I know you guys are going to be okay. And I just think that's amazing. If only we could have faith where we believe that Jesus loves us all the time, never ending, how much better would our life be? I know it's hard. I look at my story. I had so little faith when my son was about to be born. Yet look at him. He's doing so great. And I just praise the Lord for that. Let's turn to our next passage now. Same passage, say a different verse. And so now we see the result of what happens with the disciples are hitting Jesus and trying to wake him up. And Jesus says, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." That's quite amazing what has just happened there. He wakes up, he rebukes, and there is calm. And so, second point today is when storms arise in our lives, Jesus has the power to calm them because he is in control. And I think there's something really interesting here, because some scholars have looked at this passage and they see the words that Jesus says. He says, "Peace, be still." And they look at what he has done already in Mark. If you want to turn to Mark 1:25, and this is when Jesus is healing a man with an unclean spirit. It says, "But Jesus rebuked him," we see that word right there, "saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.'" And so compare it to this passage here, where it says, he rebuked the wind. So we see the word rebuke, and he says, "Peace, be still." Very, very similar. Very similar what he's doing here. And some scholars believe that this storm may be demonic. It may have been caused by demonic forces. I don't know if I believe that, though. I don't know if that is true, because I don't think Satan or demons have the power to do that. Sometimes we give demons too much credit. And I don't think they have that power. Now, we know that God does give Satan power in certain circumstances, like in the story of Job. He says, "Okay, I'm going to let you test him." And he destroys Job's house using natural disasters. So it does happen. But God has to give that control over for a purpose. I don't think it happened. I don't think this is a demonic force at all. What I think this is that this was God's timing for this storm. Because look at, again, verse 35. He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." So Jesus has picked the exact time for this, for them to be on that lake in order for this to happen. And so I believe this storm was going to happen. But Jesus knew, because he's God, he's sovereign, he knew this was going to happen. So he wanted the disciples to be in the place at the exact time, the exact moment this storm was going to hit, because he wanted to show them how much he loved them and how much he was in control. And so what does Jesus do? He completely calms the storm. There is no way this storm would have just ended like that. There's no way it could have possibly happened. Only Jesus could have done that. And he simply says with his words, "Peace, be still," just three words, and he stops the storm. I think that's incredible. How does that not show us that God is not in control? He's total control over all the elements. He is sovereign and he has power over creation. And so an application I want us to take from this is that when we are in the middle of our storms, whatever those storms are, whatever's going on in life, we are not to be afraid, but we need to turn to Jesus. He's the only person that we need to turn to, knowing that it is during these times he has the power to calm everything. The power comes from Jesus. And very clearly, it's right here. Jesus has the power to calm the storms, as it says in this passage. And then my third and final point, if we turn to Mark 5:40, is in the same passage. He's just calmed the storm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" They're still afraid. Jesus has just done something incredible and they're still afraid. And they were filled with great fear. They're still afraid. And said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They still don't know this is the Son of God. They're still not sure. Even though they've been with him for a short time, they're still fearful. They're still questioning, who is this? Who is this person? And so my third point is that when storms arise in our lives, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because look, Jesus says it. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And so it's our faith in Jesus, it's our faith in God that's going to get us through our storms in life. And we have to recognize that it is Jesus. Jesus is the one who has the power to do this. Jesus is the one that rebukes all of the things in our life that are wrong. And we have to remember that because I'm guilty of this as well. There are times where I'm like, I'm so afraid. I'm so fearful. Why am I afraid? Do I not know who Jesus is? Do I not recognize that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for my sins? And if we believe and trust him, we'll have everlasting life. What is there to be afraid of? Right. Yet there are many times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, we still have those doubts. And so, look, when we do not believe that Jesus is our Lord, we lack faith and we are fearful. It's so important that we have to believe that Jesus is our Lord. And it's so important that we have to tell other people that Jesus is our Lord so they cannot have fear either. I see a lot of fearful people running around our world right now. A lot of fear, so much going on because they put their faith and their trust in the worldly things. If they just put their faith in Jesus, there'd be nothing to fear. But like the disciples, even then, they're still not sure who is it that obeys the wind and who calms the sea. It's Jesus, the Son of God. He is the one. And we believe that we will have everlasting life with him. And so a life application from this section here I wanted to take is that we have to recognize that Jesus is Lord. We have to remember he is always with us. We have to have faith. We have not be afraid, and we have to turn to him always. We are not to question who he is. We know who he is. We should not be questioning that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is sovereign over all of us. And as this passage speaks to us, he is proven to the disciples in the midst of a terrible storm that he loves them, he cares for them, he is control. The power comes from him, and we are to believe and trust in him. We are not to lack faith. We are to believe in him. And so I love this passage. It's such a short passage, but there's so much theology here. You know, God is really showing us, his people, that he cares for us, he loves us, and we are to believe and we are to trust in him, not to have fear. And there are always going to be times in our lives, there's going to be times where these storms are always going to arise. We're not promised an easy life. I don't think I'd want an easy life either. We're not promised that, but we are promised that if we believe and trust in him, we'll have everlasting life. And if we believe in him, there is no need to fear. There is no need to fear at all. We do not need to be afraid, because if we believe in him, one day we'll be with him. And that is something I truly, really look forward to. So to conclude this sermon is there will always be times in our life when we face trouble. It's always going to happen. Storms, they always unexpectedly arise. They suddenly rush in, just like they did in the Sea of Galilee, just like they did with my son. They suddenly rush in. But let's have faith in Jesus. Let's believe in Jesus. Let us not be afraid. And let's remember that he is Lord over creation and he is sovereign over all. And if we believe and trust in him, we will be with him one day. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for this reminder that you are in control. There is no need to fear. There's no need to be afraid. And it's so easy for me to say these words. It's so easy for me to read these words, but we have to put this into application in our own lives, Lord. And so please just let us be reminded of this. Please allow us to continue to read your word, to sing your praises, to glorify your name, and just to continually remember that you are in control. Have no fear. Trust in you when storms arise in our life. Amen.